Now then, good morning to you. It is Tuesday, April 30th. Yes, 2024, Tuesday morning. Bright. It is bright and breezy here in Salford. 6:40 in the AM as I switch on the tape machine thingamajig. 6:40, yeah. Little bit milder today than it has been in recent days. That's a good thing. Bit of high pressure on the way for the bank holiday weekend. We're being promised, and I'm very excited about that. Just had the back garden done up. Done up. You like that? We've just had a bit of landscaping done. The back garden was previously a no-go area. It was a horrible thing. Really bad, with some awful old astroturf and a really horrible bit of decking from the previous owners of the property now. Took us a long time to get around to it. But it's been done and it's nice, and I'm going to source a nice, cheap and cheerful bit of furniture. Patio furniture. That's the one. Some bad gags coming to my mind now. But yeah, and I'm hoping to be able to sit out in it with my little music box and listen to some Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash and Emmylou Harrison. Yeah. Over the coming weekend, Casey Musgraves. Yeah. Anyway, am I supposed to be doing the papers? I am. All right. Let's look at the front pages of Tuesday's UK newspapers. The Times. SNP lurches into another crisis as its leader quits. Humza Yousaf, Scotland's former First Minister now, resigned yesterday after a backlash. Last week he ended the arrangement that the Scottish National Party had with the Greens to have a majority government. He ended that relationship, he ended that agreement, that partnership, and there was a big backlash against it. There was rumours that he was going to face a no-confidence vote and that he would lose. So he jumped before he was pushed. It doesn't matter. As I opined on the Richie Allen show yesterday, I must remember to say that. I must remember to stop saying, it doesn't matter, as I said, because I don't know everything, far from it. In my opinion, it matters not who occupies these offices. But a number of papers leading with it today. Also on a number of papers, a photograph, a black and white photograph of your man William and your woman Kate. That's the Prince and Princess of Wales. They are celebrating their 13th wedding anniversary. And to celebrate it, they released a photograph taken on the day they were married. A photograph that, until today, or yesterday, had never seen the light of day. Number of people wondering, why didn't they release a more modern or a more recent photograph? It has been announced, of course, that she is suffering from cancer. She was given a cancer diagnosis. And that's about all anybody knows. Let's leave the Times and move to the Metro. Nice pun on the front page of the Metro. You've only got Yousaf to blame. See what they did there? Again, the story of Humza Yousaf. Also on the front page of the Metro is a photograph of Billy Vunipola. Billy, England rugby union star, went a bit mad in Mallorca. Slapped a cop in a bar. Semi-naked he was, and then they tased the living bejesus out of him and dragged him off to jail. Billy Vunipola, bit of a wild child apparently. The Guardian, photograph of Humza Yousaf and his wife, headline, Yousaf quits as First Minister after coalition gamble triggers SNP crisis. Also on the front page of The Guardian, and we will come back to it, Sunak rules out Ireland deal on asylum seekers, fearing that they would be rounded up old west, old wild west style. Migrants feared they'd be rounded up and they would be put on a plane bound for Rwanda. Well, they've scarpered to the Republic of Ireland through the invisible border on the Ireland of Ireland. We'll talk about that briefly, maybe, in a few minutes. The Financial Times also leads with Yousaf resigning. The Daily Mirror, pure evil is the headline. The Mirror is leading with a story about a murder, a horrible murder. A man admitted killing an elderly mobility scooter rider with a knife only 5 days after he was released from prison. An 87-year-old man who needs or needed the use of a mobility scooter to get around was murdered by a bloke who'd only been out of jail for 5 days. That's the Mirror. The Daily Mail, all schools warned on sextortion epidemic. What's this about? Well, according to the Daily Mail, UK schools are warning their pupils against the dangers of sextortion, which is a form of blackmail involving threats that intimate pictures will be shared. Schools presumably telling pupils, listen, don't take nude photographs of yourself and share them with friends, your boyfriends or your girlfriends. Don't do this because they can be hacked and they can be used against you. I'll be speaking on the Richie Allen Show a little bit later on with the brilliant Marilyn Hawes. Not specifically about that, but about other issues around child safety. You don't want to miss Marilyn. The Daily Telegraph, sex is a biological fact, NHS declares, is the lead story. The front page. Very good. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We'll read that. We'll have a closer look at it. The Sun, Amazing Grace is the headline. And that's about Grace O'Malley Kumar. The Sun is calling for her to be awarded the George Cross to be because she attempted to fight Valdo Callocaine when he attacked her friend Barnaby Webber in June. This happened in Nottingham, didn't it? As far as I remember, this attack in Nottingham, this knife attack. So that's The Sun there, campaigning for this young woman to be posthumously awarded the George Cross. The Eye paper, PIP disability benefit could be cut using new system with 6 tiers. And this is about how the government is considering replacing personal independence payments with a new 6-tier system of disability benefits that it says would see many receiving less money. That's a big row, that. Disabled people and disabled charities are claiming, and I think they've got a point, that the government is scapegoating people with disabilities and painting them as layabouts and scroungers, right? When the government says it's going to crack down on benefit fraud and it's going to modernise the benefit system, disability campaigners are saying, yet again, they're coming after, you know, the most hard-up people in society and labelling us all as work-shy scroungers. So that's an interesting one. The Daily Express, Hunt tax cuts are priority. That's a promise ahead of the election from the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, that his priority is to cut taxes. The Daily Star, Creepy Jez, I'll kill 18 billion slugs, is the headline. Jeremy Clarkson, television presenter, journalist, has a farm, doesn't he? And apparently he's made some promise, or he's made some claim around killing slugs. I'm not even going to get into that any further because I don't know anything about it and it isn't that relevant to you or to me today. Let's go inside the papers then today. It is the 30th, the last day of April 2024, Tuesday. Tomorrow is May Day. It's a bank holiday in much of Europe tomorrow. I'm led to believe my missus, whose offices are headquartered in some European capital city or other, I believe she's got the day off today, tomorrow, not today. The lucky bugger. Anyway, US fines, we'll start with The Guardian. US fines Israeli units committed human rights abuses before Gaza war. This is interesting. So the US has found 5 units of the Israeli security forces are and were responsible for gross violations of human rights over incidents in the West Bank before the current Gaza war, the State Department has said. War. Yeah, right. It's a genocide, right? But this is interesting, these findings in the US. According to The Guardian, they come at a time when Israel is facing potential accountability from the International Criminal Court and the State Department for its conduct of the conflict in Gaza, in which more than 34,000 people have been killed. The units found to be involved in abuses in the West Bank are mostly from the Israel Defense Forces, IDF, but include at least one police unit. They have not been sanctioned, however, according to the US State Department. Four of the units were judged to have carried out effective remedial action after the US State Department shared its findings with Israel. That's interesting. So we haven't sanctioned four of these units, says the United States, because when we shared our findings with Israel, the units took remedial action. I'd like to know a little bit more about the remedial action, but The Guardian isn't telling us today. Now, the fifth of these units, an ultra-Orthodox military unit known as Netzah Yehuda, drawn in part from West Bank settlers, was about to be blacklisted earlier this month under the Lehi Laws. Now, the Lehi Laws ban US funding of any foreign military units involved in atrocities. The unit had carried out no apparent remedial action, despite having been told of the abuses, and Israeli government lawyers ignored communications about the issue for months, according to US officials. So the fifth of these units, was due to be blacklisted and sanctioned by the US because of the Lehi Laws, which ban US funding of any military units overseas involved in atrocities. But they've held off on sanctioning this particular unit because Israeli government lawyers contacted Washington and insisted that there is a memorandum of understanding between Israel and the US signed in 2018, which guarantees Israel more time to respond to the US finding. Let's hear what the US... Let me tell you what the US has said about it. It says that four... It's pretty long-winded, that. No, I won't read you all of that. Just to say the United States is saying, before the current incursion in Gaza, before October 7th, gross violations of human rights have taken place in Gaza, in the West Bank. Atrocities, the United States is calling them. And I would say these atrocities have been going on for 75 years. You know? I mean, I've spent an awful lot of time during my time making independent news radio programs, going back to my days in Spain, my time in London, talking about the atrocities committed against the Palestinian people by the Israeli government. It's been going on for decades and decades. And any occupied people have a right under international law to resist the occupation. I'm not saying for a minute that I approve of the murder of civilians or women and children inside Israel by Hamas. Of course I don't approve of it. But every occupied people have the right. They have the right, morally, legally, to defend themselves and to resist the occupation. The United States is saying, look, we found five Israeli units responsible for gross violations of human rights, all of these incidents before October 7th. The Guardian is reporting this today. There's very little coverage of it elsewhere. Let's talk about migration. And this is the lead, one of the big stories in the Times today, and the broadcast media is all over this story this morning. Inside the Times, Home Office lost contact with thousands set for Rwanda flights. This is almost funny. So the Home Office has admitted it is unable to locate thousands of migrants it intends to deport to Rwanda as it prepares to detain the first individuals this week. A document quietly slipped out by the department states that more than 5,700 migrants had been identified for removal. However, only 2,145 of them continue to report to the Home Office and can be located for detention, the document said. The Home Office has insisted the remaining 3,557 have not necessarily absconded, but are not subject to reporting restrictions, which means they cannot be located for detention. Sources in the department accepted that there was a significant risk that they would abscond following the implementation of the Rwanda deportation scheme. The Home Office has until now relied on the incentive of free accommodation and a £49 a week allowance to prevent people from absconding, but officials fear that the threat of deportation would outweigh that. Now, the Times goes on to say officials are due to start detaining migrants this week ahead of the first flight to Rwanda. The information was included in an update to the department's equality impact assessment. The migrants identified for deportation to Rwanda all arrived in the UK illegally, most of them in small boats between January 2022 and June 2023. Meaning, nobody who arrived in the UK in the last 10 months will be on the initial flights. And what's interesting is, you might remember this, on yesterday's edition of the papers, The Guardian ran an exclusive story yesterday. It was picked up by the Times News website and by the BBC. And the story basically said that migrants who were coming in to speak to their bail contact person or who were coming in to talk about their case were going to be detained and then put on planes sometime later this week or next week. It was basically a heads up, wasn't it? A warning to these migrants who might read these stories to basically to not make your appointments this particular week. You know, if you've got an appointment with an official regarding your case, just don't turn up because you could very well be detained. To say this is farcical is a grotesque understatement. It really is. You know, if any nation state is really determined to prevent people arriving on its shores illegally, people who are not welcome, it's pretty simple, I would say, to prevent it from happening. But this goes far, far deeper. I think you and I would agree. Rather than just go over old ground about why this is really happening, let's move to a different story. But it's getting a lot of play on the broadcast media today, particularly this idea that there's a big row brewing between Ireland and the British government, the Irish and British governments. Now, The Telegraph. Sex is biological fact, NHS declares in landmark shift against gender ideology. So the NHS has declared that sex is a matter of biology in a landmark shift, according to The Telegraph. Changes to the health service's written constitution, proposed by ministers, will for the first time ban trans women from women-only wards and give women the right to request a female doctor for intimate care. The NHS Constitution, a document that aims to set out the principles and values of the health service and legal rights for patients and staff, was last updated in 2015. It has to be updated at least every decade by the Secretary of State of the day. Campaigners for women's rights welcomed the significant shift, which comes after years of wrangling and follows accusations that the health service had been captured by gender ideology. Now, back in 2021, NHS guidance said trans patients could be placed in single-sex wards based on the gender with which they identified. Yes, that was madness. But the new constitution will state, according to The Telegraph, we are defining sex as biological sex, meaning that the right to a single-sex ward means patients would not have to share sleeping accommodation with patients of the opposite biological sex. Until now, according to The Telegraph, no commitment was made to biological sex, meaning some female patients complained they were forced to share sleeping spaces with trans women. Born male, those who born male but identify as female. Women's rights campaigners said the move was returned to common sense, an overdue recognition that the women's well-being and safety does indeed matter. But the NHS is saying, or at least leaders, now The Telegraph doesn't name these leaders, but it says NHS leaders raised concerns that the health service was being dragged into a pre-election culture wars debate. a pre-election culture wars debate. We might get into this on the Richie Allen Show later on. Now back to this migration story. The Express: Ireland in crisis as huge tent city springs up after UK rejects migrant plan. I think the Express is a bit late to the party here, because contacts of mine, Richie Allen Show contacts who live and work in Ireland, would tell you that the tent city outside the International Protection Office in Ireland hasn't just sprung up because migrants have fled the UK to avoid being sent to Rwanda, that there has been even a tent city of sorts for a number of weeks, if not months. But the Express is saying that a tent city which gives makeshift accommodation to asylum seekers has sprung up in Dublin as a row erupts over how Ireland should deal with the country's migrant crisis. The Express carries a number of photographs of the tent city. It does look pretty awful. Dozens of tents tightly packed next to one another on the streets around the International Protection Office. 1,700 homeless migrants are looking for shelter. The Express says UK and Irish ministers are in a spat about where they should go, with UK government ministers today rejecting Dublin's demands to take back asylum seekers who crossed from Northern Ireland. The UK says, no, we won't. And that the UK will ignore any new law introduced by Ireland, which of course is a member of the European Union. The UK government has said through spokespeople, even if Ireland passes legislation, it's up to us in the UK to decide who we do or do not accept back into the country, citing the French situation. France doesn't accept any returns from the UK. Do you think the elections, well, I mean the local elections here in the UK, maybe, certainly the European Union elections in Ireland, definitely being fought on this particular issue, largely the whole issue of migration and the impact of mass migration on public services in Ireland and the quality of life for people living in Ireland, certainly going to be a huge deal in local and EU elections in Ireland. I think the general election, I think, here in the UK, which is going to happen any month now, will certainly, it'll certainly be a big issue in the general election here. Let's move to the Mirror and something slightly esoteric. I'm dropping the occasional esoteric story into the papers podcast when the opportunity arises. Here's one in the Mirror. I love this. Mysterious mummy's foot belonging to alien discovered after UFO museum raid. So this was a raid of a UFO museum in the Victoria area of Buenos Aires in Argentina. There was a UFO museum there, and Interpol agents burst through the front door of the museum and confiscated a foot believed to be alien and a number of other artifacts, 60 other exhibits. It was the Museo del OVNI, which translates as UFO Museum, as I said, in Buenos Aires. So it was a popular tourist attraction, according to the Mirror. And it was based, or is based, at the home of researcher Silvia Simondini since 2005. She's a woman who's very interested in ufology and alien artifacts. And she advertised it as a museum featuring extraterrestrial relics and historical artifacts, including this mummified foot that she's been displaying for a number of years at her home-based museum. Now, it came to the attention even of officials at the Peruvian embassy in Argentina. They said the skeletal object has significant scientific importance for Peru. And after learning about the foot, the Peruvians told the Argentinians, and they worked together to raid this UFO museum and to take many of these artifacts away. I love this stuff. I'm very interested in it. I used to do an evening radio program in Spain, which you've heard me mention probably more than a dozen times, more than 100 times even, on the Richie Allen show. I used to do this evening, weeknightly, Monday to Friday. in Spain, and I would interview people like Lloyd Poy, God rest his soul. Lloyd had in his possession, of course, the Star Child skull, a skull that he believed to be extraterrestrial. And lovely fellow, very sincere, Lloyd. He certainly believed that the skull in his possession was the Star Child skull, was definitely alien. His opponent said, no, it wasn't. It looked like it was the skull of a child who was maybe born with hydrocephalus. Is that what you call it? Hydrocephalus. Yeah. But anyway, Lloyd was convinced. I used to have him on from time to time on the radio in Spain for hours talking about not just the Star Child skull, but about alien artefacts and the ones that were most compelling, you know. Love all that stuff. We'd like to do a bit more of it on the Richie Allen Show, to be honest. Not always easy to do it, though the news and news analysis takes up most of our time. Let's go back to the Telegraph. Seinfeld blames extreme left for killing TV comedy. Now, Jerry Seinfeld is an absolutely gifted stand-up comic, in my opinion. A brilliant stand-up comic, a brilliant exponent of it, of that art, of delivering a line. Brilliant. And Seinfeld, the TV show, is one of the most popular TV shows of all time, of course. 76 million viewers it had, according to the Telegraph. He said that the extreme left and PC crap is killing comedy on TV, saying that networks were too worried about offending other people. Would-be viewers were now turning to live stand-up routines for comedy, because stand-up hasn't been sanitised in order to avoid causing offence, said Seinfeld. And he said, and we quote here, he was speaking to David Remnick from the New Yorker. He said, it used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on, or oh, MASH is on, Mary Tyler Moore, or All in the Family is on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV, said Seinfeld. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. When you write a script, said Seinfeld, and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. That's a pretty bleak picture he's painted there, isn't it, Seinfeld? So you're a young writer, and you write a sitcom. You write a script for a sitcom, and you give it to a network. And then various people at the network see it, and then they have meetings about it. And then somebody comes back to you. Well, we were thinking this about this joke, and we're worried about this, and we're not too sure about this. That's the end of the comedy, says Seinfeld. Now they're going to see stand-up comics because they, by they he means viewers, because they are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. We know instantly and we adjust to it instantly. With certain comedians now, people are having fun with them stepping over the line and us all laughing about it. Stand-ups, it's the stand-ups that really have the freedom to do it because no one else gets the blame if it doesn't go down well. Seinfeld having a go at censorship, I suppose, and the sanitising of comedy by, as he sees it, as extreme liberals, extreme leftists. He goes on to say he was told not to go to colleges to perform his own act because they're so PC. He said to the New Yorker's David Remnick, students just want to use these words, like, that's racist, that's sexist, that's prejudiced, he said, adding, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Seinfeld, yeah, very talented man. A lot of his stand-up is available on YouTube. Very, very funny. Now, the Times will finish with this, and I don't finish with it to wind anybody up, because when I state things, when I open my big gob, my big massive trap, all I am doing is expressing an opinion. I have never set out to change the minds of anybody. I have never set out during my career to force my opinions on people or to convince people to adopt my positions or my opinions. Never. I offer opinions, that's all I offer. And all opinions are welcome. I detest and have detested now for many, many years the so-called comedian and actor Russell Brand. I believe Brand is a colossal gatekeeper. And I believe he has very serious questions to ask about his conduct. Not just recently, but over the course of his career and beyond. He is facing some very serious allegations of rape, sexual assault and emotional abuse, grooming a schoolgirl. This guy's got serious questions to ask. He deserves, like every other human being, he deserves that right, you know, of being considered innocent until proven guilty. Everyone, no matter what your status, should have that right, you know. Until you prove me guilty, I'm innocent. And he deserves that presumption of innocence until he's proven guilty. I find him incredibly sinister, and I've gotten into it in the past on the Richie Allen Show, his associations, the things he was involved in, the programs, the shows, his own behaviour. I find him a very, very disturbing individual. That's how I find him. Other people find him funny. The Times headline, inside the Times, Russell Brand baptised in the Thames. Russell Brand was baptised in the River Thames on Sunday as he seeks to embrace Christianity following allegations of rape, sexual assault and emotional abuse. In an Instagram video recorded on Monday, Brand said he had found his path and was left feeling incredibly blessed and nourished following the baptism. He has been accused of rape, sexual assault and emotional abuse by four women in a joint investigation by The Times, The Sunday Times and Dispatches, Channel 4's Dispatches. Brand has denied the allegations. He didn't reference them directly in the video, but he did allude to challenges he was facing. The baptism, he added, had made him feel as if some new resource had been switched on. Yesterday I got baptised and it was an incredible and profound experience. Many of you would have had your experiences of baptism and will therefore know what I am talking about. Something occurred in the process of baptism that was incredible, overwhelming, literally overwhelming, because I was obviously underwater and it was the River Thames at some points. The River Thames at some points? Was he baptised in several bodies of water? Was he? I don't know. I don't believe Brand, and that's my right. I don't believe him. I believe Brand is a fantastic grifter. But he's one of many. There is a great replacement going on. There's another great replacement. It's the establishment attempting to replace the genuine, the truly 100% independent media is being replaced, or they are attempting to replace it, with figures like Brand and other celebrities who have had epiphanies during the COVID bollocks. And all of a sudden, these celebrities talking about everything from depopulation agendas to chemtrails. And it's a complex thing, this. And it's more complex than I'm letting on. But if I could sum it up in a few words, the real independent media, you know, those of us that are completely unconnected to the establishment, completely unconnected to it, and we're talking about these issues for years and interviewing credible people for years and building big audiences for years, they're attempting to replace us with this kind of, pygmy fucking thing. Pygmy thing they're creating. This alternative media packed with celebrities, some of them very well known, some less well known in mainstream circles, who have had these epiphanies in recent years and now all of a sudden, you know, are everywhere on social media talking about things that we've been trying to come to terms with for years. Cue the ad hominem attacks. Cue the ad hominem attacks, because rather than deal with my assertion, people will claim that guys like me are jealous, you know, and that there's some sort of envy going on here. Just look at Apple's news podcast charts today in the UK, and you can take your accusations of jealousy and stick them up your fucking arse. I have a far bigger audience than many of these people I'm criticising, So leave the ad hominem attacks to one side. It's not about envy or jealousy. It is my genuine belief that they are trying to replace the independent media, the truly independent media, with this pygmy thing of B and C list celebrities who have maybe failed or maybe fallen out of favour, maybe with commercial media, national media, and now they see an opportunity. You know, they see a market. I don't know. Like I said, it's maybe a bit more complex than that, but that was the times. Brand has found God. Sure he has. Thank you for listening to the papers today and my old bollocks. I'm on air this afternoon at 4 o'clock with the Richie Allen Show. I hope you'll join me. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Arrivederci from the BBG.